There we go. I think that's switched on. So this is Chris and Fiona. And those of you who've joined the church within the last couple of years won't know these guys. They were at the 9:30 congregation. And what were you doing before the time you went to South America?
Sure. So I was working in Network Rail in Merton Keynes, in a sort of national control centre, and we just had recently arrived twins, and we were an older daughter, so we had 3 under 2. So we were pretty busy with work and looking after kids.
So he was working at Network Rail. Okay, any criticisms of Network Rail, you can't point at him anymore.
Well, I've heard it's gone downhill since I left, so.
And he also used to have a Land Rover, ex-military Land Rover, which is why he knows a bit of us, I think. Anyway, and Fiona, you were, three under two? So we know what you were doing.
Yeah, I had my hands full.
And what was your sort of background before kids?
I trained to be a textile designer at university.
Textile design, mm-hmm. Fantastic. So you were doing that, and then suddenly you end up in Peru. What was the decisive point?
So we'd had a long-term call to mission, really. Chris had spent 2 years in India teaching in a mission school. I'd spent some time there as well working in a women's cooperative. So we were kind of on that path already, but it was at the time of the weekend away.
Parish weekend away.
That we were able to have some really insightful conversations with Michael and Zena and some other people as well, and just have space to really consider what God was calling us to. And it was then that we decided to take up this call to Peru.
Yeah, so good things happen on parish weekends away.
They do.
Yeah, but I mean, pure coincidence, but we're about to launch the parish weekend away, so it's good to have a little bit of testimony about God speaking to you. Okay, well, we're just really looking forward to hearing what you've got to say, so let me just pray for you guys. Father, we thank you for Fiona and Chris, and we just pray your blessing on them now, that they could just speak your word to us and give us some encouragement in our own lives as missionaries here, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we're going to open up with our two readings, the first one of which is the Great Commission in Matthew 28, which can be found on page 1000, if you want to follow along. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age."
And then we're going to skip on to Ephesians chapter 3, which can be found on 1174. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to the Spirit by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Brilliant. Okay, so if we jump onto the first slide, that'd be great. Okay, so we're the Cortman family, as we've said. This is a picture of us 2 years ago being commissioned at the 9:30 service as mission partners with BPC. And we've been serving for the past 2 years in Arequipa, which is the second largest city in Peru. And we've been working with an organization called Latin Link. We've got three children, Rufus and Teddy, twins and twin boys, and Edith, 3 and 5 respectively. So we thought it might be encouraging. We hope it's encouraging to share some of the highlights of our time in Peru and some of the things that we feel God's been teaching us, that we've learnt, particularly around humility, around God's faithfulness, around the power of the Holy Spirit, and finally around discipleship. That's how you travel light, or how we travel light anyway. So living in Peru certainly comes with some challenges, certainly cross-cultural challenges, getting used to a different culture. One of which, if you see on the next slide, is being served pets for dinner. This is cuy, or guinea pig, which you all know is a traditionally eaten dish in Peru. And a few of you asked from the other services, said, what's it taste like? Well, it tastes like chicken, like everything really. So that's always a bit challenging cross-culturally. Another cross-cultural challenge is arriving at children's birthday parties. So we knew that things started a little bit late in Latin American culture. So we turned up to our first children's birthday party 45 minutes late, chuffed with ourselves, only to sit there awkwardly for another hour until the first guests arrived. So certainly a few challenges. Other highlights include things like being asked to kill and butcher an alpaca before sitting down for dinner, being presented with mate de coca, which is a traditionally drunk Andean drink made from the leaves of the coca plants, which is also used to make a recreational drug. But it's all kosher, it's fine, it's very weak. And the final one, which is how to arrive late to meetings, which sounds a bit strange. In English culture, if we turn up late to a meeting, we try and creep in as quietly as we possibly can and cause as little disruption as we possibly can. In Latin American or Peruvian culture, it's the absolute opposite. So if you arrive late to a meeting, you must go around, introduce yourself, and then go around and shake everyone's hand or give them a kiss or whatever's appropriate. And only then can the meeting get going. Those certainly were some of the challenges of living cross-culturally.
So we went out to Peru with a calling to a specific project called Nuevas Fuerzas, which means renewed strength. And it's a Christian social enterprise project providing fair wage employment, training and activities for young adults with disabilities, which is a really marginalised group in Peru. There's not a lot of state support at all for that group. It was really rewarding to see their confidence increase and as I built up trust with them and to develop those new skills. Selling the products locally, as you can see, we had some fairs in the local area and it was brilliant. Some of the young people from the project came along and it was really good to have that interface between the consumers and they could give them feedback and really encourage them that they really like what they've made. So after 1 year in Nuevas Fuerzas, our involvement came to an end as the project took a slightly different direction. The local church wanted to focus more on the social side rather than the work. But I was able to continue meeting up with some of the outworkers. On the next slide, I've got a picture of me with one, and the next one. I was able to go and meet up with them and do Bible studies and keep training them and maintain those relationships, which really became special friendships by the end. So as one door closed, another one opened, and the Lord provided an opportunity to work in a shanty town on the outskirts of Arequipa with some more marginalized women who really had come in from other places and were really lacking resources. So that was the Ciudad de Dios project that I was working in my second year. This involved supporting the knitting project, which is on the next slide, with different skills. And helping out with a bit of devotional time, which we do during the project, and just inputting into their lives, but also just getting to know them and getting to know their children, their families, their backgrounds, a really broad range of where they'd come from and how they'd ended up in this place, but an amazing opportunity to be able to draw alongside them. I also found that I was invited to do some more knitting projects, which just suited me down to the ground, up in the mountains, in the highlands of Peru, with some local Christians who were working up there. So all of these opportunities were amazing for providing the chance to draw alongside marginalized women and gaining their trust little by little. In this culture, it's little by little. Draw alongside and just share a little bit of the love of Christ, which was an incredible privilege. So in all of these roles, I was the teacher. I'd come in as a textile designer, as a teacher, but I had so much to learn about the local culture, about the people, and it was just really humbling when I thought I could speak Spanish brilliantly, and then I'd try and explain something, and I just got this blank. Like, what are you saying? And it just making those faux pas just made me think, okay, I don't know it all. I've got to just take time and get to learn it, and just keep my mouth shut sometimes and listen and observe. So it was really apparent to us that modern mission is not about going and telling people what to do. It's about being incarnational and understanding where you've come from so that you can then understand where you are and the context that you're attempting to serve. So the more I recognized how little I knew and the more I realized how much I had to learn, the better I was able to operate and relate to the people around me. As Paul says in verse 8 of chapter 3, to me, though I am the very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I've been amazed that at the moments where I felt the very least of the saints, he has provided the best opportunities to share his love.
Brilliant. And so prior to departing for Peru 2 years ago, Fiona did a recce trip to suss out what it would be like to live there. As some of you know, Edith, our older daughter, has type 1 diabetes. So it was a really important trip just to suss out what life would be like living in Peru with a daughter with diabetes. That was an amazing trip, and as some of you know, the Lord opened doors miraculously, and we had a chance encounter with the top pediatric endocrinologist in Arequipa, and we also made links with Medtronic, who supply the pump supplies in Peru. Fast forward from that point, we'd been in Peru then as a family for 9 months, and we were just coming to the end of our pump supplies, the supplies for Edith. We went to place an order, only to discover that the company had been closed down a few months earlier, and we were unable to place any supplies, place an order. So that was a very testing moment. So we quickly, we placed an order in the US and very quickly got some of you guys involved praying. And with 2 weeks to go, the pump supplies arrived. And by that point, we were a little bit nervous and looking at flights to come back to sort things out. So we just felt incredibly overwhelmed by God's faithfulness in that moment and the prayer support of our church family here in Buckingham. Several months later, after this incident, I was translating for an organization called Medical Mission International. They were running a medical campaign with American doctors in a deprived area of Arequipa. And we just finished treating one of the patients, the question was just asked, what do you know about Jesus Christ? She responded with just an amazing testimony of God's faithfulness, but also a tragic story of 15 years of domestic abuse, and related also that she was currently living in a house where her former partner was building a wall down the middle, a physical wall down the middle of the house, because he wanted to sell his half, and she was living the other half with her kids. And throughout that story, she was just constantly coming back to the faithfulness of God. And I reflected on how my faith had been tested during 6 weeks of relatively mild trial compared to this woman's trial and testing of 15 years. And through our experience, and also through the stories and the people that we've encountered, we can echo with conviction the words of Paul that we heard earlier to the Ephesians, when he says, "To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think."
So for a while, we'd harbored a desire to run an Alpha course in our local community. The slide that will come on next is me doing a traditional dance with some other parents from the children's local nursery. They have dance competitions quite regularly in Peru, which for a British person coming in was a little bit of a worry, but I managed to keep up just about. And what really came out of it was that I'd spent a lot of time with these other parents and built up some really good friendships with them. So we were in the park one evening walking our dog, as you do, and we bumped into one of these parents, and they said, "Oh, I really want my husband to get to know more about God. You know, is there a way we could do it?" And I said, "Well, we've got a course. We've found some materials we think would be good, but we don't know who to invite." She said, "Oh, don't worry, I'll just invite some people." So the next week, three other families turned up, and we started an Alpha course. We've got a video to show you about that.
Soy Sandra Lazo.
Soy Paul Chávez.
Y nos conocimos con Fiona y Chris a través del colegio de nuestros pequeños. Porque ellos van al mismo jardín. Y entre las actividades que hacemos en el jardín con los padres, ahí fue que tuvimos la oportunidad de conocer primero a Fiona y a través de ella, bueno, a Chris.
Yo ya había conocido a Cristo, ya me bauticé hace muchos años, pero me alejé bastante de la iglesia, me alejé de los amigos creyentes, me alejé de Dios, por así decirlo, por mucho tiempo, bueno, hasta que los conocimos y comenzamos el curso de Alfa y cambió las cosas.
Yo en realidad he estado mucho tiempo alejada de Dios. Siempre he tenido la creencia en Dios, pero no, nunca he sido muy cercana a Él, a la Biblia, a la palabra. Más que nos hemos criado yo en un hogar católico. Íbamos a iglesia, a la misa, pero en realidad desde que perdí a mi papá, ¿no?, hace muchos años, como que me alejé de todo lo que tenga que ver con Dios, la Biblia, la iglesia. Y por muchos años he tenido mayor cercanía hasta que los conocí a ustedes, ¿no?
Bueno, desde el primer día fue diferente. Nunca había, la verdad, he hecho un curso así o compartido de Dios a través de un video, ¿no? Fue, la verdad, bastante, no sé cómo decirlo, o sea, me impactó bastante la forma de verlo, los testimonios de muchas personas que te puedan expresar sus experiencias, ¿no? O sea, fue muy bonito y te das cuenta cómo ha fe o cómo influye Dios, ¿no? O sea, en las personas.
Sí. Sí, en realidad desde la primera sesión yo he sentido un cambio importante en nuestras vidas, como que de estar completamente alejados de Dios, de estar todo el tiempo quizás preocupados, estresados, ¿no? Pensando en un montón de cosas. Creo yo que desde que hemos venido, las cosas han mejorado, ¿no? O sea, ya no se siente tanta preocupación encima, tanto estrés, y es porque creo que hemos logrado de una u otra forma, claro que todo es poco a poco, ¿no? Pero de una u otra forma hemos logrado tener una relación más cercana con Dios, ¿no? Y Alfa nos ha ayudado bastante, creo yo. Estas reuniones nos han conectado. A mí me ha conectado y a él lo ha reconectado. Sí. Con Dios. Entonces, yo creo que es una experiencia muy positiva. Y a nosotros, de una u otra forma, creo que sí nos ha cambiado de alguna forma nuestra forma de ver la vida, las cosas, las experiencias. Sí. Nos ha reconectado y estamos, después de muchísimos años, yendo nuevamente a una iglesia. A escuchar con atención, ¿no? Con atención a escuchar la palabra de Dios. Nos ha despertado, a mí me ha despertado un interés increíble en leer la Biblia, que es algo que jamás lo hubiera imaginado en realidad.
So one of the things that I take from this experience of doing Alpha is that God uses the relationships with the people that we have around us, on the school run, at work, our neighbours, friends already who don't know Jesus. And it's that they're looking for something, and there's something missing, but they don't know what it is. And it was just an incredible privilege to be able to introduce some of these guys, reintroduce them, and just share with them what we have as Christians, which is life-changing. The Holy Spirit is faithful, and when we step out in faith, he can do so much more than we ask or imagine. I mean, we thought doing a course in Spanish, okay, the videos, they'll say it all, but then there's questions that come and you think, oh my goodness, in English I'm not sure what I'd say, but in Spanish. So before every session it was kind of a step out and trust that was going to come, and he did the work. We were just the kind of vessel, really. So it's been the biggest encouragement for us to for our own faith, to see how the Holy Spirit can impact people and change their outlook completely.
So several months after arriving, if we can jump to the next slide, hopefully perfect, I was asked to lead an English Bible study in an international school in order that the English teachers practice their English in a local Christian school. So the studies were compulsory, which meant the teachers resented wasting their time studying the Bible when they could be marking books or writing reports. What a better way to spend your time, eh? The study materials were fairly dry, and their English, well, was probably not much better than my Spanish at that time. Fast forward, or 18 months later, I had a group of individuals who were passionate about learning more about the Word each week. A group who were actively looking out for each other, particularly through a couple of bereavements of their parents. And one member of the group who had a life-changing encounter, Percy, with Jesus Christ. So how did this happen? I can't really answer that question. All we did was meet once a week, read the Bible, discuss it, and prayed into each other's lives. So through a very mundane, very ordinary Bible study, God worked in an absolutely extraordinary way in those people's lives. Discipleship is one of these words that's getting more and more airtime in Christian circles. But what does discipleship mean? What does it look like day to day? Prior to leaving the UK, I remember having a conversation with Michael Gregg, I'm sorry to pick you out, about the Great Commission, about the passage that we just heard read earlier. And he made this very simple observation. The Great Commission doesn't say, go make Christians, go make believers. It says, go make disciples. And for me at the time, hearing that, that was an encouragement and a challenge. The encouragement was this: it's the Holy Spirit that does the heavy lifting. It's the Holy Spirit that does the conviction and revelation in the process of salvation. But the challenge is the second part. The challenge is growing in Christ-likeness, drawing alongside one another, growing and deepening in our faith. We are, of course, mandated to share the good news and to give a reason for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. But I think whether in the shanty towns of Latin America or the rural churches of southern England, discipleship and evangelism have to go hand in hand. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul reminds us of that necessary balance between evangelism and discipleship. And more importantly, it reminds us from where that lasting change of growth comes from. It says this: I, Paul, planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. And I think for us, leaving the UK was definitely hard. Leaving our family was definitely hard. But leaving our house group, which felt like family, was really hard, wasn't it? It was really tough. So, looking back, it was a big, bold decision to give up our jobs, our house, and say goodbye to our friends and family for 2 years. However, we have been absolutely overwhelmed by the way in which God has acted, despite our failures, our inadequacies, and the many mistakes we've made along the way. It's been a privilege, a real privilege, to be involved in social enterprises, generating, particularly Fiona obviously, generating sustainable and fair waged employment for marginalised sectors of proven society. We've been overwhelmed by God's faithfulness through every aspect of relocating ourselves from leafy Buckingham to dusty Arequipa, as we've testified this evening. It's been absolutely incredible to see three adults commit their lives to Christ, and also, which I haven't had time to mention, we did a Youth Alpha course as well, where five young people made first-time or recommitments. We've also been really blessed to spend time discipling and mentoring Peruvians, many of whom, of course, are close friends. The role and the direction of mission is changing and evolving, but we feel central to the success of modern mission is being incarnational, entering a new cultural context and recognizing that you have as much, if not more, to learn than you have to teach or to impart. And as I say, the direction of mission is changing as well. Our mission agency, Latin Link, carries out mobilization, which looks to seek to put Latin Americans and bring them to Europe as missionaries. And as we've suggested in two services, and we'll go for it again, we think maybe a Peruvian missionary would be a great addition to the BPC team right here. It's clear that many opportunities exist in Peru. However, for us as a family, we're not exactly sure on our future calling. We've decided to take a year off, a year out of mission. Not that you ever take time off mission, but a year out of living in Peru. And we'll be carrying out some tent-making roles, probably on the Isle of Arran, where we're currently based, as we just reassess and pray into our futures and also think about future equipping and training. Really, we want to say thank you so much for partnering with us, especially thank you so much for partnering with us prayerfully. That has just been an absolutely enormous encouragement all along the way, but obviously as well financially, you've been able to live and to work and to share and operate in Peru. And our final prayer for you is another verse from Ephesians, which says this: we pray that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Thank you.